I'm a little on the exhausted side. But if you don't have any questions, then we're not just going to, you know, look at each other or talk about my city self. It seems that they don't have any questions. Oh, it's not working. Too late, Yaniv. Okay, question number one, is it applicable for women to wear pants to salah? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Nabiyyina Muhammad. If the pants which the woman wears in salah, they show her body parts, then it is not permissible for her to wear them in salah. The woman is obliged to cover her body during the salah, and you all know that the pants, whether they are super tight or somewhat tight, unless they're very, 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 very baggy, so that even when she makes ruku and sujood, they still don't show the form of her legs, then that is fine. If that is not the case, then they will show the form of her legs, which is the usual situation, then it is impermissible for a sister to pray in these kinds of pants. FYI guys, this is going to be a short class because I need to sleep soon. Is it permissible to give food for the poor people on behalf of one's mother who passed away? She passed away in Sha'ban. So they particularly to give this, give in this Sha'ban. It is permissible to give charity on behalf on a dead person. It is permissible to do so because of the textual evidences concerning that. However, to specify Sha'ban as the month in which the sadaqa is given, whether it is because Sha'ban has a special virtue or because the mother passed away in Sha'ban, this has no basis and it is incorrect and it falls under innovations. Rather, one gives sadaqa at any time on behalf of the deceased, and they do not specify a particular time or month or day or anything of the sort, because there's nothing from the Quran and the Sunnah which has that particular specification or particularization, if that's a word. Sounds nice though. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Does backbiting a kafir act as a sin? No. The kafir has no hurma, no sanctity, and so you may backbite a kafir, but one should avoid doing so unless there's a beneficial reason behind it, just so one can maintain a particular act. But it does not count as backbiting, nor is one sinful for doing it. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. When reciting Quran in the five daily prayers, do we have to light, for example, make the Quran recitation of Al-Fajr to be the longest, then followed by Dhuhr, then Asr, like that? Or can we just read any, not minding which to make long or short? Well, you should apply, it's a sunnah, it's recommended that you apply that length of recitation in the prayers, but it is not obligatory. it is not obligatory. It's simply a recommendation. If you do it, barakallahu feekum. If you don't do it, then it's mustahab. You're not sinful for that, and there's no harm in not doing that at all. Can we recite Quran at the graveyard? Can you give me a reference? Actually, you cannot recite Quran at the graveyard, and the one who claims otherwise needs to provide the reference. I don't have to bring a reference that says do not recite the Quran at the graveyard, but the one who says you should bring a reference that says recite the Quran at the graveyard, and there isn't such a thing. Quran is not to be recited at the graveyard. The graveyard is a place where you visit the dead, you make dua for them, and you go back home. It is not a place of salah, it is not a place of Quran recitation, it is not a place of inspiration, as it is with the Sufis who get inspired while, camping out near to someone's grave. That's all not part of Islam. This is a form of deviance which leads to shirk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If a man takes ghusl before Fajr to purify from the state of Janaba, does he need to do ghusl again for the Jumu'ah Salah? Yes. Yes, because the day of Jumu'ah begins with the entrance of Fajr. So if one did ghusl before the entrance of Fajr, that means he did not do ghusl on the day of Friday. He did it on the night of Friday. And the hadith speaks about doing ghusl yawmul Jumu'ah, on the day of Friday. That means that this person should do another ghusl before Jumu'ah, preferably before he goes out to the Salah. Preferably before he goes out to the Salah. The one before Fajr does not count. Tea with mint sounds good. I want to know about Ayatul Quran that Allah is near the people than their neck. There isn't such an ayah. There isn't such an ayah. There's the ayah which says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدِ مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. This ayah which says, and we are closer to him than his jugular vein, continues to speak about the two angels who write down the deeds of the son of Adam. This is why many of the ulama say that the ayah is not in reference to Allah, rather it is speaking about the angels, and the proof for that is the context. The very next ayah is speaking of the dual, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ, the two angels. So there is no ayah in the Quran which speaks that Allah is nearer than the than one's neck. But there's an authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who said to the Sahaba when they were raising their voices in dhikr and dua, he said, "Irba'u ala anfusikum, fa'anna alladhi tad'unahu aqrabu ila hadikum min naqatihi," aw kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Do not raise your voice, take it easy on yourselves. Verily, the one whom you are calling upon is nearer to one of you than his own animal," which he's riding. And that hadith is to be understood as in, we understand the other names and attributes of Allah. The same way we say Allah has an essence which is not like our essence, Allah has nearness which is not like the nearness of the human beings. And what is impossible for the human beings is possible for Allah. So Allah can be above His throne and near to us simultaneously because it is Allah. We can do it because we're the creation of Allah. The physical laws which apply to the creation of Allah never apply to the creator of the creation and the one who created the physical laws. So that for Allah is possible. How? Don't ask, because we don't know how, and this is none of our business to know how. So in summary, there isn't an ayah which says, but there's a hadith which mentions something along these lines. Shaykh, Allah, you're all the way over there. there. Salam alaikum, alaikum salam. Is it obligatory for women to wear socks in salah? Please provide me a reference. Yes, it is obligatory. It is not obligatory for women to wear socks in salah. It is obligatory for women to cover their feet in salah. Not obligatory to wear socks, but it is obligatory to cover their feet. Meaning if she wears a long jilbab, a long dress which covers her feet, that does the job. The reference for that is the hadith of Ummu Salama, which teaches us that the women are supposed to cover their feet because their feet is part of the awra. Their feet is part of the area of the body which must be covered. And the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah will not accept the salah of a woman unless she covers her awra in salah. Which means that the feet have to be included in that, because they're part of that which is supposed to be covered. Subsequently, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, covering the feet must be done for the women in salah, whether through socks, through a pair of shoes, through a long dress, through a blanket. That's none of our business. As long as she covers them, we're good to go. Very nice. Salam alaikum, alaikum salam. My parents are Muslim but not practicing. My mother goes to Muslim priests, brings amulets, water, and many things that which are sihr. I try to enlighten them. They have issues as I left free mixing job. I don't have a room at home. Sometimes I'm not even. They don't like also as I study Islam, as the home is full of shirk and bid'ah. Will I be permitted to leave the home and stay in a ladies' hotel or something along these lines? Well, Allahu alam. I mean, there's more information which needs to be known. La ilaha illallah. There's more information which needs to be known before we can say that. It's difficult to make that judgment and say you can leave the home, because of the rights of the parents. So this is a technical issue. It requires further elaboration, and I don't think we're able to do that at the moment. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Wa alaikum salam. If a husband says to his wife, I don't want you in my family anymore, and really meant it, is it considered a sin? If he wants to withdraw word, does he need to give any kafara? I don't know. These issues need to be asked to a judge because of the technicality behind the issues of divorce. They're not easy matters that anyone can deal with. Allahu alam. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. I just came from Jumu'ah and the Khatib told us there's a night called Laylat Mubarak on the 15th of Sha'ban. Is there such a thing and what should I do or say to them? There's an authentic narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah azza wa jal on the 15th of Sha'ban forgives all of his believing slaves except those who have enmity against each other or towards each other. And that hadith, first, the scholars have differed about the authenticity. And even though some of these scholars authenticated this hadith does not suggest in any way, shape or form that any special worship should be done on that day. Not fasting, nor praying at night, nor giving sadaqah, nor having sweets or anything. This is a khabar, it's a news, it's information, which says that Allah will forgive His believing slaves on that night. Assuming the hadith is authentic, on what basis are people extending and acting upon innovated acts because of a hadith which does not suggest that? Because of a hadith which does not suggest that. So A, many of the scholars have said the hadith is weak. B, even if the hadith is sahih, it does not have a name called Laylat Mubarak, and it doesn't have any acts of worship associated with it. You behave on that night like you behave on any other night. If Allah forgives you during that night because of the authenticity of the hadith, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Otherwise, you shouldn't do anything at all Because there's no basis in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this act whatsoever. Salaam alaikum wa alaikum salam. Do we have the right to follow any madhab that we like or need to follow what's been told by our parents? Neither one. You neither have to follow a madhab nor do you have to follow what your parents told you. You have to follow what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded and brought. And this is the only thing that you're expected to blindly follow. No one else is to be blindly followed. Not the imam of a madhab nor your parents. In fact, the statement of the kuffar used to be, "Inna wajadna abana ala umma, wa inna ala atharihim muhtadun." Verily, we have found our forefathers upon a way, and verily, upon their way, we shall be guided accordingly. And they said this when the prophets and messengers brought them the truth, they chose to remain upon disbelief, claiming that they're following their parents. So we don't have that in Islam. You neither follow your parents if they're going to tell you to go against the Quran and the Sunnah. Nor do you follow the Imam of a madhab, you follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salaamu alaykum wa alaykum salam. We know women used to pray at the Prophet's masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behind the men. They used to ask questions to the Prophet. So if I study in a co-ed university and sit it back, what is the problem with it? That's a nice question. Trick question. Sister in Islam, what do you think is the amount or the level of difference between the male companions and the female companions in the house of Allah during Salah, where as soon as the Salah is over, the men will not turn around until the woman had left first, then the woman would go? And the difference between that and between co-ed university, where women are half naked, they're not in Salah, and they go in from the same door, and they leave from the same door, and they go in together, and they go out together. I think that answers your question. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. Is it okay to pray for Subh Fajr if you woke up at 7 a.m? If you're a hypocrite and you pray like this every day, for the hypocrite it's okay, but for the Muslim it is not. Fajr is supposed to be prayed at the time of Fajr, not afterwards. If you happen to sleep by mistake and you woke up at that time, yes, surely you pray as soon as you wake up. But I hope you don't mean by using the present tense here that this is something which you habitually do. Barakallahu feekum. Salaam alaikum wa alaikum as-salam. My local mosque do some strange Sufi things. On Sunday they are doing election for a new masjid committee. But the other party, la ilaha illallah. But the other party are a bunch of Hizb ut-Tahrir. But they are at least better than Sufis. Should I vote for them? You should vote for neither. Vote for neither. Don't vote, in other words. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. If a revered Muslim wants to pray Qiyam al-Layl and only know short surahs, is it possible to read from the Quran during the prayer? No. He should continue to read the short surahs which he knows and reflect upon them while learning their meanings until he has learned more surahs. Naam. Mute the nasheed. I can't hear it. But I'm guessing they're speaking to that thing which comes on the side. Allah al-Musta'an. Salaamu alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam. When asked where is Allah, isn't it better just to say Allahu alam? as this is something of no concern to us. Ow! When someone says Allah can't be here or there, he is limiting Allah, and Allah says He is Allah in the heaven and the earth, in Surah Al-An'am. So is it best just to say Allahu A'lam? No, it is not. And this is deviance and misguidance and going against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who asked in Sahih Muslim the slave girl where Allah was, and she told him, "Fis-sama," Allah is in the state of transcendence, or Allah is above. Allah is high above. So how can we reject? How can we reject the answer of the slave girl and accept this hadith of Mufawwida? These are people called Al-Mufawwida. Ya akhi, don't, if you don't understand the matter, don't go jump into conclusions, ya akhi. Even if all the narrations are sahih, you have to understand them in the light of each other. Once one of the hadith have the wording of fis-sama, you cannot deny it, ignore it, or accept other ones which are also sahih, because they explain each other. And you have to accept all the correct narrations and the correct riwayat of the hadith as long as they are authentic. I'm giving you the one in Sahih Muslim. The lady said that Allah is in the sama. As for the ayah you quoted from Surah Al-An'am, then if you don't have knowledge of the Arabic language, you will not be able to adequately understand it. The ayah is speaking about Allah Azza wa Jal being the object of worship fi sama'i wa fil ard. It is not speaking that Allah is Himself fi sama'i wal ard. Please stay with him. And had you known the ayat and the wording in the ayat and the preposition used in the ayat, you would have understood that it doesn't mean that. Now if you read the English translation, no you don't. No you don't. The ayah does not refer to what you're saying. Go back to the tafsir of the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and you will find that this ayah does not suggest that. Otherwise, how would you understand the ayah where Allah says, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضِ? It is not limiting Allah, ya akhi. Allah is above the creation, above limitation. Limitation is part of the creation of Allah, and the creation of Allah does not encompass Him, so no one can limit Allah. Allah is above limitation, above His creation. He is not on earth, He is not with us, in the sense that He is next to people mixing with them. Allah is above the seven heavens, above the throne, in a manner which befits His greatness and His majesty. No, not with His knowledge. Allah is Himself with us in a manner which befits His majesty, but not mixing with us on earth. The ma'iyya, which is specific and special to Allah. Anyways, akhi, because you seem to have some misconceptions, barakallah feek, I'm going to save you the headache. Go to my website, onewaytoparadise.net, and then go to the tab of audios. Then go to Aqeedah. Then download the 100 something audio files that address this very issue that is confusing you at the moment, barakallahu feek. And there you will learn the explanation, Habibi, of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah on how to understand the ayat which the Mu'tazila and the other, the Asha'ira and the Jahmiyyah misinterpreted in order to support their deviant views. Yes, what's the problem, ya captain? Don't debate with anyone, ya sheikh. Don't debate with anyone. Give it some time. Listen to the classes and then debate, barakallahu feek. We have to take the next question, ya sheikh. No problem, ya captain. If a Muslim fear priest gives holy water or ta'weez saying that Allah has given him power to cure, what do you say in answer? You say to him that he has claimed something outrageous. He has claimed something outrageous. How does he know that Allah has given him that ability? And there's no such thing as a Muslim priest. There's a righteous Muslim, and otherwise there isn't a priest. in the sense as in Christianity. Anyways, Allahu A'lam. Salaamu Alaikum wa Alaikum Salaam. If a woman's parents want to her to marry her cousin brother, but the guy does not pray at all, does she have to obey her parents in that? They want her to marry him so that he can still be within the family and perhaps she may change him after marriage. No, she cannot marry a man who doesn't pray. And she is not allowed to obey her parents concerning that. She is not allowed to obey her parents concerning that. She may not pray a man who doesn't pray, because a man who doesn't pray is not a man, is not a Muslim. And he's not really any, you know. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. If I maintain modesty, wear niqab, and do not mix with men, can I continue my MBA? Through distance learning, yes. Try to do the distance learning, you sisters. Wallah, brothers and sisters, wallah, it's nice. From the comfort of your own home, sitting on your own couch, behind your own screen, learning and educating yourself and attaining a degree. It may not be as valuable as the real degree that you get from personal attendance, but it does the job. It does the job, and Allah will put the blessings in it. Do the distance learning. I cannot tell anyone, go ahead and attend a school where there's mixing. Even if you don't mix and you have modesty wear niqab, still, you're in an environment of evil, and that evil will have an influence on you sooner or later. What's the point of plugging this? It's not even plugged. Assalamu alaikum. If I maintain modesty... Oh, I read that already. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Is it sunnah to read Surah Al-Sajda, Mulk, Waqi'ah before sleep? Is there any surah to read before sleep? Zakallahu khayran. The ones which the sunnah suggests are Surah Al-Sajda and Surah Al-Mulk. Surah Al-Sajda and Surah Al-Mulk, it was authentically narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited them before sleep. As for Surah Al-Waqi'ah, there's no authentic reference for that. There is no authentic reference for that. Of course, this is besides reciting the end of Surah Al-Baqarah and Ayat Al-Kursi and Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbi Falaq, and Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbi Nas. Be careful. I need to go soon, dear moderator. Monitor, I need to go soon, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Further studies, especially away from home, is not permissible at all. For a woman, furthering studies, especially away from home, is not permissible. Is that a question or a declarative sentence? Is it an interrogative sentence or a declarative sentence? I don't understand. Furthering studies, especially away from home, is not permissible at all. There's a period, which means it's not a question. Then there's for a woman, then two question marks. I don't understand. That's why punctuation in the English language is of vital importance. Commas, period, exclamation marks, question marks, make the whole difference. Otherwise, you cannot tell the difference between a declarative sentence and an interrogative sentence. At the moment, I don't understand the question. Naam, so please rephrase it with the correct punctuation, otherwise I'll give you a zero on your exam. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. I was trying to tell my friend taking pictures, even from digital camera is haram. I was trying to tell my friend taking pictures even from digital camera is haram, but he keeps saying even video have many pictures, so that that should be haram too. What to say? Say to him, well, you have a point and you don't. The point that you have is sophisticated, that supposedly the video camera is a bunch, ya Sheikh, the video camera is a bunch of thousands of pictures, you know, put together and, you know, blah blah blah. And the truth is, we don't see all that. Okay? We see that you press a button on a regular camera and it snaps a picture, and we press a button on the video and it just records. You're not going to 800 times per second to get the video. A. B, there is absolutely, absolutely, absolutely 100% no benefit behind taking a picture, but there is absolutely, absolutely, absolutely 100% benefit behind videotaping something. And I'm speaking in the da'wah field. So when you videotape something for da'wah, then there's definitely benefit when you get to see it again and watch it again. But if you take a picture of a big sheikh, unless you're a Sufi, and you want to have the picture of Sheikh Nazim on the corner of your house, then there's absolutely no benefit in that picture. What is it going to do for you? You can meditate when you look at the Mawlana. Come on now. They don't even know Sheikh Ibn Al-Fahmin's opinion. Salam alaikum, alaikum salam, awum salam. Are women not allowed to further their studies away from home in Islam? Are women not allowed to further their studies away from home in Islam? Yes, they are. Away from home? Meaning to travel abroad? Do you want to say, are women allowed to travel abroad and continue their study? Their studies, is that what you mean? Whoever asked that question, you can type, okay, beautiful. So are women, well, if she's going to travel without a mahram, and she's going to remain there in this fashion, then yes, she may not go according to Islam. Because Islam is more concerned about protecting that woman's dignity and modesty and honor, rather than ensuring that she becomes a well-educated woman in this sense. So, going abroad to continue studies has many risks, which I've mentioned in the lecture, The Seller of Musk. The Seller of Musk, I suggest you listen to it. It's on YouTube, and I guess that will answer your questions, inshallah, over there. So much for leaving early. Oh! MashaAllah, tabarakallah. You've silenced me there, monitor SH. Okay, guys. Well, it was lovely having you again. And I won't promise you that we'll be able to do this again in this month of July. I will try, inshallah ta'ala, whenever I'm around at that time, to have our class. I guess, like I told you earlier, try to log in at the time of our class as usual and see whether I'm around or not. And if so, then we can have our class. If not, then accept my sincerest apologies, since I'm traveling and things are not as practical, nor are they as convenient, and sometimes they're simply not doable at all. And so, with this, we conclude our lovely Q&A session. I thank you for your patience and your perseverance in hearing me out, specifically when I get on your case and scold you for a good reason. And jazakumullahu khairan, accept it from me. Barakallahu feekum. We'll catch up with you later, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.